Hey, I'm Reno.
And I'm Anders.
Welcome to How to Entrepreneur, a podcast program by Inch.
A show where we would like to take you on a fun journey about entrepreneurship. You'll hear inspiring stories with leaders and entrepreneurs across various industries and how they creatively overcome obstacles and challenges. Here we go.
Welcome to another episode of How to Entrepreneur. Today, we'll talk a little bit more about being a female leader and a confident entrepreneur. Allow me to introduce you to the CEO and co-founder of Svitbin, and she's also leading other companies. So welcome, Hannah Glockovich.
Thank you so much for having me.
Super excited to have you on. And you're managing a lot of businesses. Do you have more than 24 hours a day, or how do you manage that?
That's a good question. Well, I'm kind of a control freak, so I do manage my time quite narrowly. I have like full control of everything and how I'm supposed to do things. But it's not always been like that. That's something I've learned. I'm also like, I like to believe that I'm highly efficient, which also can cause problems because I take on more than I necessarily should. And so maybe I just don't like free time. I don't know.
I'm a little bit curious though, Hannah, is there any strategies? Because again, like I think the calendars get filled up pretty quickly, right? Like, thank you again for your time. Like, this is going to take another hour. Do you have a strategy on managing that schedule? Meaning like, do you think before you said yes, or do you say no a lot? What are some things you could share with our listeners?
I try not to know, because I think everything like this can be an opportunity to further reach my goals and to also like experience and to learn new sides of myself. When it comes to like time management, I always have like this task, a list of tasks that I have to get through the day. And I start with the more like basic, just like get them out of the list. And for me, it's like super satisfying to just like check them off. And then like the tasks that take longer time or go over like a period of time, I just do a little bit every day. I don't have like a super secret like recipe on how to be time efficient, but this works for me. I do list everything. And there's so much going on in my head. So for me to also be thinking about all the things I have to do, it's just so much easier to just write it down. And then when it is on my list, it has to be done. Like I cannot not do it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of crossing out the list too.
But sometimes it does like become a lot and I'm like having long hours at the office or I just don't have time to be with friends or whatever. When I see that this becomes like a routine in the week, then I have to like take a step back and prioritize because I don't want to do, I want to do other things too than just work. But that also goes on my list. So
I hope today after this meeting, after this recording, you can cross out Inch podcast. Yeah. Off your list, right? So that's awesome. We also know that you're managing three companies. So we'll touch on the other two a little bit later, but could you tell us a little bit about Svitbin? What do you guys do? What do you guys offer to our listeners?
Yeah, well, Svitbin now versus what it was supposed to be is quite different. We've had a really interesting like storyline. It all started with my friend and co-partner, Michelle Seta. She and her developer team had like this idea about this like motivational app for children. And then I came in and did like the business part of it, where we kind of like switched over into like becoming like we want to incentivize people to show up more in the city centers, to use more of their town and city, and then they get points for it. Like we use gamification on a map. And we got a lot of prizes for the idea. And we got like 1 million from Forskningsrådet student. And we were also nominated for like Fredrikke Kvamsprisen, which is like an entrepreneurship prize for women. And then we spent 2 years developing this, and there's a lot of like layers to this app. And we got like big customers in Bergen, and 2 weeks before we were supposed to roll it out to the market, Corona hit. And at first we were like, oh yeah, no, it's going to be like a couple of weeks and then we're back to normal. So we kind of spent like the summer just like still focusing on the app, still getting new customers. We were like in this angel challenge, like investment competition where we got to the finale. But then like one of the investors actually told us like, I don't think this is going to go over like this. I think Corona is here to stay. And then we were like, okay, we have to like rethink. So last fall, we had like this, like we were in the kind of like a valley of like, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? We have like this technology. We have so many people that are waiting for a response. Allah, we don't know what we can do anything about it. And then me and Michelle, we actually sat down in January this year. And we said to ourselves, like, this team is so unique. We have to use it. We cannot just sit and wait around for Corona to like finally take its like break or whatever, or go away. And we gave ourselves to June this year. If we haven't gotten new customers or if we haven't like redone ourselves into June, then we have to start doing other things. Because then it's been like a year with like minimal pay and then a year with like no pay. And then we can't continue like this. And what we did then was that we saw all of the different qualities that we had in our team and what was unique with us. And we figured out, well, let's use this to like deliver products for our clients or customers. So what we started then is that Swithin became a development team. But not only a development team, since we have this unique mix of people, we actually do everything from the business side of it, like the marketing, the strategy. And then we have like the design, the UI, the UX, and then the development. So you get like this whole stream of like activities to get the best product for the customers. And we landed our first customer 2 days after we launched our website. Nice. I called around and was like, hey, we're doing this. Does anyone need anything? And since then, the ball has been rolling. And we actually, like the budget that we had set in our mind for like the whole year was reached in April, actually, like income wise.
Wow, congratulations.
And that was a huge milestone for us. Thank you. So now we're like expanding our team, and we're also doing, because what I noticed is that with my team, we're really efficient and we're hungry. We want to like prove ourselves, to like prove our work, to like show that we can do what people say we can't, kind of. Because after like COVID hit and we didn't do much for a couple of months, it was kind of like, oh yeah, you know? So we want to like prove ourselves again. And since we also love doing like these creative processes, we have also now started to develop our own stuff again. So there's going to be like Swithin apps that are kind of like our thing. So we have more legs to stand on. So we have like multiple sources of income coming to the company. And I think they're actually going to reach quite far now. And it's so nice to see like the team motivated. I feel a joy going to work. It's amazing. And it's such a huge turn from how 2020 was, because then it was like make or break. Are we going to continue or what are we going to do? Because both me and Michelle are highly educated and so are the developers in our team. And there's a lot of job opportunities for us, but our motivation is that like self-realization. It's not the money, it's not the income. Of course, that's a plus when it goes good, but it's more to like prove to ourselves that we can do it. And it's so much more rewarding than just doing the 9-to-5 for someone else, where you kind of like own the result yourself, kind of.
And just speaking with you for a few times though, Hannah, I sense the hustle, right? Like the urgency you're talking about. And the world that I came from, we always say, look, I can hire somebody and teach them the skills, right? But I cannot teach you to want this. Mm. You have to come, it has to come from within. And a lot of times, yes, it's the person's internal motivation, but also is the leader on top. Could they motivate you? Mm. Because we're talking about being a female leader, do you have a strategy or something that you and Michelle are partnering together to motivate your team, maybe during some during the downtime like COVID?
Well, actually with our team, when nothing happened for us, or things happened, but like for me and Michelle, when we were trying to like figure out what we were going to do and like talking to people and stuff like that and investors, then our team didn't have that much to do. So we didn't really like motivate them. We kind of like talked to them and just like walked them through the situation we're in, but we did continue to give them the team feeling. So we kind of implemented these like game nights where we played Dungeons and Dragons. And since our developers are like, they love Dungeons and Dragons, they kind of like, they stuck with us though, because they didn't want to go miss that. They didn't want to miss us. So, and now we have plenty of work for them. But for me and Michelle, it's really important that we have like this open communication. And that is about everything. If you feel like there's too much to do or too little to do, or you just feel stressed one day, whatever, you have to like let it out so that we know how to communicate with each other. And that's what we say to our team too. And I try to talk to my side of the team, and Michelle talks to her side, like the developer side, and just to see like, how is everyone feeling? And is there anything they want to take up with us, la la. And even though we're a small team, it's really important for us that everyone feels like it's more than just work. We're just like a little family doing fun stuff together. And that's where like the creative processes is going to be like the best, when everyone feels like their contribution is important.
You know, I was going to, in December, my mate wanted to put up like a web page. And we were looking out for companies that could help us with that. And we went through the internet and we found like Shopify and Wix and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you know what that is, hopefully. I was wondering, why should people choose Swipin over those companies that kind of does it for yourself?
Well, I personally, like, if you can do something yourself and you have like the time and capacity to do it, because there's so much to learn by doing that. And you also have like more ownership to it. But if you're like a really busy business owner and you don't have time to like rebrand yourself forever, it's so much easier to make someone else, someone professional who have done this before, do it for you, because it takes like 1/10 of the time. I love Wix. I think it's super easy to use. And if you're just going to have like this basic informational page, use it. It's super cheap, it's super easy, and you learn like a lot of like SEO, like search engine optimizations and stuff, and it can be like valuable for you to go through that process. But if you're going to have like this portal or booking system, or you're going to sell some things, or you're going to, or you really want to like have this like unique for your company, it's better to outsource it to someone else, like someone like us who know what we're doing. Because we can build it from scratch, or we can use like WordPress or Wix, but we can do it a little bit better than what you could with no experience. And when it comes to like, why choose Swipin over other companies who does the same? What I can say there is that for us, our customers are not like one of many. For us, they're like, they become like part of the team, because we want them as part of the like the conceptualization, the design process, and then development. Because it's such a joy to see the customers like having their idea that they had in their head become something real. And it kind of like triggers this like entrepreneurial feeling that we had like when we did our app. And I remember when people are showing like us their designs and stuff like that, I remember the feeling, how valuable it was to be part of that process. And I think that a lot of big companies, they have more like, they have like this strategic and cost-effective approach. But for us, it as I told you, it's not about the money, it's more about the process. And every customer that we have is a potential friend in the future too, or a potential door opener. So for us, it's, we're not here to like compete with the big tech companies. We're here to just like deliver the best possible outcome while having fun doing it. And that goes to both parts.
I hope to kind of use this opportunity to talk a little bit more about being a confident female leader. You know, I think I can imagine there are times when you have to convince other people to say, hey, come to Swipin. And there are other times you got to stand in front of your team and say, hey, this is a good idea. Let's keep going. Right. Yeah. Are there any times when you feel like, oh, I'm not really quite sure, maybe perhaps you're low on confidence, and how do you kind of you know, boost your confidence, and how do you convince other people being a female leader in your space?
It's a really interesting question, because for me, before I hated being asked, like, how is it to be a female leader? Because what's the difference with just being a leader and a female leader? But at the same time, I want to acknowledge like how far women have come, but also there is a way to go. I have experienced that people haven't taken me seriously. Like instead of focusing on the content that I'm like speaking about or pitching, they're focusing more about, oh, how nice that you're trying to make it on your own or la la la. But as you get older, I think for me at least, like people's opinion didn't really matter as much as me believing in the product or the thing I'm selling. Because if you believe in yourself and you believe in what you're saying, you're going to find someone who does. And I would much rather work with someone who have like this open mentality to like try new things. Let's say they've never worked with a female leader before and just like, okay, let's go. Than someone who's like, I have to convince them that I can do a good job. And also for me, I have like, once you get results, they speak for yourself. And I've always been kind of like strict, not like strict, but like straightforward when I'm talking to people. And I don't treat you differently, whether you're like the director of a company or an employee. Like I'm going to be myself no matter what. And I'm just going to talk it as it is, you know? And some people appreciate that. Well, some people think that might be out of line or whatever. And of course you have to like, you have to.
It's a dance. I think, yeah, those conversations.
Yeah, depends. And you have to see who you're talking to. You have to be able to adapt yourself. For me, when I feel like I have low confidence in something, you have to take a step back and just figure out, why do I feel like this? Is there something that's bugging me? Is there something wrong here? And also think that what I feel internally doesn't necessarily shine out externally. And I remember last time when we talked a little bit about this with confidence. And this fake it till you make it thing, like there's so many people using it and it works. And that's also like everyone who's in sales, I think once in a lifetime are going to sell a product they don't necessarily believe in.
I actually came from a sales world and we used to say, if you're not excited about this, your prospect is not going to be excited about it.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. And I see some of the interviewers on TV as well. I think a lot of times, and this is just my opinion, guys and listeners, I think they also have to hype themselves up during an interview. True. Imagine if I just talk to you like this, no one's going to be excited about it. So it also takes you to be more confident in that. And I think fake it till you make it is a true statement, but I also think there's a lot of gray areas in between that is don't fake something that you have absolutely no experience about, right? The way I like to look at it, guys, is maybe from a confidence scale, from a 0 to 10, let's say you're a 6. Okay, I think the fake it till you make it could help you move from a 6 to an 8 or maybe a 9. Mm. But today, if you were to say, for example, Reno, you're going to go into a meeting and start talking about how to build a website. Mm. I'm at 0 right now. There's no much I can fake to make it as a 1 or 2 or 3, because people will see through right through it. So there's a balance people should draw, but I think fake it till you make it is a good strategy. But again, there's that gray area in life. What do you think?
Absolutely. I've been in a situation where I haven't been sure about like what I'm going to answer or how I'm going to like also represent myself in the best way to like land a deal or whatever, make the best first impression. But then I just say like, you can be honest while pretending to be confident, you know? You can be like, that's a really interesting question. I'm going to have to like get back to you on this part. I want to make sure that what I'm going to give you of information is correct. So I'm not going to say anything now. And that also, like you have, as you said, you have different scenarios where you have to like portray yourself with different people. But the important thing is to just be true to who you are. And I think that is something that goes around, you know, that when someone talks to you about me, then they have the same impression that you have kind of. And I can have bad days and I can have good days and stuff like that. But in the end, like the realness, as you talked about, like the genuineness that cannot be like mixed up with the confidence, because confidence goes up and down. Genuineness, that's really important to have like stable, constant.
When the story I love to quickly share is I had this question in my mind one time going to a sales world where most people think salespeople are confident. Mm. Some are, but some also fake it. But I'm trying to find out, okay, how do I be confident, right? The how, is it something that I have to, you know, take more steps? Do I speak faster? Do I speak slower? What are some of the techniques that can help people be more confident? I didn't have an answer. So I started to say, you know what? Every time I go to a business meeting, you know, you can imagine this really long table and the boss is sitting at the very front. People are sitting around this long table. I'm just going to sit in the back and observe.
Yeah.
Who do I think is confident? And then from there, I like to draw a pattern. What are they doing that makes them confident? And this is something I found really helpful. I love to quickly share is I noticed that in the beginning, when I think confident people, I try to copy what they're doing.
Mm.
But later on, I realized confident people, first of all, one thing they can people can focus on to know if you're confident, they are very comfortable. So the person sitting in the chair, like, you know, maybe you have one more on your back chair, you look very comfortable, but don't try to copy. Like today, if I'm trying to copy what Hannah is doing, it's going to look weird.
Yeah.
But I just noticed people are comfortable in their own skin. So yeah. Today, if you're wondering, if you're in a big meeting, if you're presenting in front of a class, if you're interviewing, you want to appear confident.
Yeah.
Make sure you're comfortable first.
Yeah.
Sit comfortably. Right. And I think that is the first thing, at least I noticed. There are times, obviously, I get nervous, but I always tell myself in those situations, be comfortable first.
Yeah.
And then confidence will come. That's always in the back of my mind.
I play football, and in football, we have so many different like types on how to be confident and how to be comfortable in a situation. And my teammates, like, they all do different, what's it called? Like not suspicious.
Rituals. Is that
rituals.
What you mean?
Yeah, rituals.
Okay.
And there are so many weird ones. And I heard that, or before a game, there was a guy in the middle of the field on the other team, and he was just screaming, like, they suck, the other team suck, we are so much better than them. And he went around and just screamed, and we were like, to the other teammates, why is he doing this? He needs to do this to be confident, to tell himself that the other one are so much more bad than him.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the people that need to, you know, take on one shoe before another and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I also feel like that shows, like, you need to be comfortable and you need to do the same thing over and over again to be comfortable and to be confident in a situation.
Yeah.
I feel like we're kind of up to something here. You know, there's like a pattern of things that, you know, you said, Hannah, and also Anish playing football. I think I'm actually personally really fascinated by psychology, like why we feel a certain way, how we act upon those things. And I think being nervous is absolutely normal.
Yeah.
Today, look, guys, humans are not built to stand in front of a group of 100 or 10 and speak up. That goes against our nature. It's okay to feel nervous. Now, to combat that, I think something you mentioned, you know, I came from a sports background as well. Ritual to me is, doing the same thing over and over and over. So you don't feel, so there won't not be any surprises, and that calms you. And again, it helps you with nervousness, right? So you have to do the same thing over and over. I always put on my left shoe before I put on my right shoe. I don't know why. It just makes me more comfortable. And I think being to tie it up with being a leader, I think a lot of people think leaders are always confident, or confident people are always confident. No, sometimes they're just not confident. And I think being a good leader, it's okay to show that, hey, I'm nervous. Kind of like that story you shared earlier, Hannah, like I'm a little bit nervous right now. So people are all on the same page.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's going to put you on the pedestal. I'm not going to follow a God, which I thought, hey, there's no way I can achieve that. But I will follow a person who's going to guide us to the goal that we first achieved on. And those are the things, you know, being a leader, confidence, being comfortable in your own skin. Right. It's okay to also feel nervous and be comfortable at the same time.
Absolutely.
You got to draw that balance. And this life is very complicated, but I think those techniques will really help you to be more confident.
Absolutely. If you believe in yourself, other people will too. And if you fail, you just prove to people that it's totally normal and human to fail. But the important thing is to pick yourself up afterwards and laugh it off.
I hope to kind of wrap this up too with this idea. I think something to do with your story, Hannah, about pivoting during COVID, and also Anish about playing football, coming from a sports background. I think there's something I learned from both worlds that helps is Don't fake the things that you cannot do. We mentioned earlier, but on the other side of the coin is double down on what you're good at, right? Today, if you're really good at right side tackling, double down on it. Take more shots on the right side than the left side, right? But don't pretend that you know how to be a goalie because you don't know how to be a goalie, right? So there's that balance people should draw. Double down on what you're good at and don't fake it too much. So there's that balance people should draw.
Absolutely. Be true to yourself, guys.
All right, that's it, folks. One of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten is everyone only gets one first impression. So if you're looking to design an attractive website or an app to capture that first impression, you should definitely reach out to Swithman. Or if you have a business idea and are looking for a mentor or consulting services, shoot Hannah a message. We'll put her LinkedIn in the description below. Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a really good time talking to you guys.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We will see you at the next episode about business development, where we will talk to the CEO and founder of Equi Connector, Mona Skistad. If you like How to Entrepreneur, follow us at Inch.io on Instagram, Facebook, or if you live in Bergen, follow us at Inch Bergen. See you next time.